everyone. I'm Grace Kladnick, if we haven't met. It's so good to see you. I am not the pastor. That's Pastor Ryan Odo. And if you have been out or you're new, he had an open heart surgery on Friday. And if you're not getting the text messages that are letting you know the updates, I'm here to give you an update. He is walking laps in the ICU. Come on, Pastor Ryan, slow it down a little bit. But the doctors are really hopeful and excited to have such a vibrant patient who is ready to get out of the ICU, right? So you can continue to pray as he, this is a long recovery, and we will give you updates now on Sundays. For the next 8 weeks, we'll give you an update on how he's doing. You probably won't receive another text message, but if you come on Sunday, we'll let you know how he is. But they're hoping to be home from the hospital this week, and they're not receiving visitors. But if you would like to bring in a card or a gift card, maybe, Trader Joe's, that's always welcome. You can do that on a Sunday or just continue to pray. But how amazing is it to hear that such a big surgery just a few days ago, and that man is walking laps already. Come on, let's hear it. God is so good. And Johanna's doing good, too. She's doing good, too. She has all the caffeine she needs, she said, and she thanks you for the prayers. So it's pretty great. So I will be with you a couple weeks to preach, but really there's an amazing team here that you will get to hear each week. Next week we're starting our Christmas series. Come on, can you believe it? Already Christmas? This is the big week for turkey. It's a big week for turkey. And if you have plans to eat and eat some more, well, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the turkey and the stuffing. Favorite dish, just yell it out, your favorite dish on Thanksgiving. Mashed potatoes. I only heard mashed potatoes. It's mashed potatoes. So I have this app on my phone, and it's called a Time Hop. And I don't know if anyone else has this app, but it's real neat because it will catalog everything I've ever posted on social media, online, a picture I've taken on my phone, and it remembers it. And every day, it'll tell me, hey, this day 5 years ago, this is what you posted. This day 15 years ago, you thought your pancakes were great and you let everybody on Facebook know about it, right? Sometimes it's embarrassing what it reminds me of. But this week, it was really fun because it kept reminding me of last year at this time, we lived in the mountains in Running Springs, and it was showing me beautiful fall trees and friends that were coming over for Thanksgiving and videos of the kids. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what a fun year that was. And it reminded me just how quickly things can change. Have you ever thought about what was happening a year ago and where you are now? So for 20 years, we lived in Los Angeles, and we resigned from the church that we were pastoring there, and we had 1 year that we knew God was giving us to rest and to slow down, and we were blessed to have this beautiful place in the mountains, and we thought, let's go move to the mountains and basically detox Los Angeles. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so we moved up to the mountains to this small little town that didn't have a Starbucks. It didn't have a grocery store. It didn't have a Target. Are you feeling me? Okay. It was a detox, but way more intense. Like, it was a water-only fast. Like, it was not fun. And it took a minute to kind of slow down our pace and slow down our life. And I love this story. So my three girls, my husband Matt, and I have three beautiful girls. And all they've ever known is Los Angeles. That's all they've ever known. That's the only place they've ever lived. And so we move up to the mountains, and they weren't really used to, what do we call it, nature. They weren't used to nature. Anything green, they didn't know what was happening with trees. And so we go up there, and I said, hey, everybody that comes up here, they hike. So we're going to become hikers. And we're going to do hikes. And, you know, at the time, we had a four-year-old was the youngest, and then six. And so we take our girls out on this hike. And let me just tell you, it was a beginner. It was a beginner's hike, okay? It was a paved walkway, all right? You could see the car from the walkway. I thought, we'll start here. And so we go out here and we're walking. I'm like, look at the trees and how beautiful. And my Mabel, who was six at the time, started to get a little nervous. And she's looking around and she said, Mom, are we going to die out here? I said, honey, the car is right there. You can literally see it. But it's amazing what can happen. I never would have thought I was gonna live up in the mountains. If you would have told me those years living in Los Angeles and the beautiful home we lived in and the beautiful community we were a part of, if you said, hey, there's gonna be a season where you're gonna live up in the mountains without a Target and you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through. And if you would have told me that, I would have said, what? That doesn't make sense in my plan. Do you guys have plans? That song, He Has Good Plans. No, you have good plans. You have good plans for your life, right? And so sometimes when his plan breaks into our plan and we're like, hey, this wasn't the plan. And he's like, oh, you thought it was your plan. It's my plan. And the life that we live following after Jesus, it's about his plan. Did you know the Bible's not even about you? Oh my gosh. What? No, it's about his plan that you get to be a part of. How great is that? And so sometimes these moments can happen in our life where life is just lifing. Do you know what I mean? Like you weren't expecting that to come. You had a plan, you had an idea, you were on a path. And something gets in the way of that path, unexpected or surprising, or maybe you do something stupid, we would never do that, that messes up where you were walking and where you were going. And we just say, whoa, what's happening? God, where are you? So we're gonna read a scripture about this. So some of you in this room might maybe have heard this before, some maybe this is your first time ever hearing this message, but it's when Jesus calms the storm. So there we are in Matthew 8. 23. Jesus, would you open our eyes to see you in the word? Would you open our heart to receive it? Open our ears to hear from you today. Any distraction, would it go now in Jesus' name? Amen. So Matthew 8, 23, it says, then he, who's he? Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Mistake number one, they followed him into the boat. Verse 24, without warning. Can you say that with me? Without warning. A furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. In this story, we see a scenario that is not unfamiliar to us. We could be, like I said, lifing, and all of a sudden, without warning, something hits our life that we weren't expecting, we weren't thinking about, we didn't know was going to happen. If we had had a warning, maybe before, we could have prepared ourselves, we could have prepped ourselves. But without warning, things happen in our life. The Sea of Galilee was susceptible to these sudden, sometimes violent storms. It was in the basin surrounded by these mountains, and cool air from the Mediterranean would draw down through the narrow mountain passes and clash with the hot, humid air laying on the lake, which would result in big, sudden storms. Also, we find that this journey is nearly dark when Jesus says, let's get into the boat, which means it's even more treacherous. But what strikes me is many of the disciples in this boat are fishermen. They're used to the water. They're used to sudden storms. They're used to this scenario. So why does it surprise them and elicit so much fear when this storm comes out of nowhere? Even when we know the truth, that just because we are followers of Jesus does not make it us immune to life's difficulties. Just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean hard, bad, terrible, awful things are gonna happen to us, around us. Just because we know that, why is it that sometimes when those without warning moments happen, we are struck with fear, we are struck with doubt, we are struck with worry, we question, God, do you even love us? Anybody? In the Mark passage of this same story, I love the Gospels, how it gives us some stories and it just gives us slight different perspectives of the same account, right? And in Mark's version, he says that Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And they get in the boat and follow him. So these fellas have been walking with Jesus now for a little time. They've seen him perform miracles. They have seen him cast out demons, heal the sick, feed thousands with a little. And they get in this boat because he says, we're going to the other side. They trust him. They believe him. But as soon as that storm hits, without warning, all of that faith and that trust goes out the window. All of their skill set, they forget. You don't know what to do in a storm. You're a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter, okay? What was he gonna do? Build another boat? I mean, come on. But don't we do that? Life hits, and without warning, something comes, and we forget all the tools we've ever had. We forget all the times that Jesus has come through and through and through. We forget that Jesus said, I will be with you till the ends of the earth. We forget that he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All of a sudden, it's out. And we're like, where are you? Do you want us to drown and die? Even the disciples who are doing life up close, they forgot. They got scared. The waves looked bigger than the God who was with them. Without warning. Without warning, illness strikes. Our kids suffer. We lose a job. We're betrayed. We lose a close friend. We're lied to. We lose an income, we lose a home. Without warning, life happens. The without warning is inevitable. Jesus never promises us we will not be without these moments. His promise is that he will never leave us. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never, say never, leave you nor forsake you. We see Jesus in the boat asleep. He is the perfect Prince of Peace. Not even a raging storm will disrupt his non-anxious presence. Y'all, we could use some of that non-anxious presence. The same presence is available for your life and your without warning moment. Many years ago, before we had children, I would say things like, I will never yell at my kids. A classic for me was, I will never let my children eat in my car. Yeah. It will be pristine and clean. Those kids will not have one chicken nugget in that car. And while I'm at it, I will never drive a minivan. Without warning. No, I'm just kidding. The third kid comes, and you say, those sliding doors really sounding good. Now, if you ever get into my car, I'm always apologizing, and I'm saying, I'm so sorry. Yeah, just dust that off this. I'm so sorry. It smells like Chick-fil-A, and there's Trader Joe's stickers on all the windows, and I don't know what has happened. But I can tell you, our never is not the same as God's never. Man, our never changes so quick. I would never think that. I would never do that. I would never act like that. Oh my goodness. God's never is not the same. And maybe that's why it's sometimes hard for us to believe, because our never changes so quickly. But his never is not the same as our never. When he says, I will never leave you, he means it. He backed it up. Jesus was dead on the cross, 3 days later, rose again. And what did he say? Go and wait. I'm gonna go and prepare a place for you. You go and you wait, because the Holy Spirit will fill you. The Holy Spirit will meet you. He backs up his never. I'm not gonna just say I'll never leave you. I'm gonna fill you with my Spirit so that you will never be alone. Do you know who lies to you and tells you you're alone? The devil. He doesn't want you to realize the power of God rests in you. He doesn't want you to realize that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you, that you are a powerful people, and that your life yielded to the things of God. What could happen? Who you could be? How you could stand in the face of adversity, stand in the face of storms swirling all around you, and stand as a person of peace, stand as a person of faith. God is with you. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, don't we? We need to remind ourselves. I'm not a victim here. I'm not weak. I am empowered by God himself. I am filled with power to face. Every single thing you need is found in the presence of God. It's found there. His never, it's unwavering, it's uncompromised, it's true. It's a promise that will not be broken. So I wanted to talk about three different things I saw in this passage, and I encourage you to read it. I love to read the Word of God over and over again and meditate on it. Sometimes you can read it once and think, I got it. Read it five more times and see what comes to the surface for you. And sometimes we look at scriptures and passages like this, and we're like, oh man, I learned that in Sunday school, or I've heard that story so many times. And sometimes the Lord wants to use even maybe the simplest illustrations to highlight deep truth to us. And so when I was reading this passage, three things just came to my mind, and maybe there'll be more that come for you. I encourage you to meditate on that and see what God highlights for you in this passage. But for me, I have three applications I want us to take away today. The first one is this: storms reveal our theology. Theology is what we truly believe about God and who God is. In Matthew 8:26, remember he said, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Here's the thing, Jesus sees what's really going on in you, even when we don't. Sometimes we're so full of fear and anxiety and angst, and we think it's because of that person or that situation or that thing. And the Lord sees it all. He sees the layers underneath. He sees the reasons and the roots of why these pain points are coming up, these reactions are coming up. And he loves you so much that he will ask the questions to get to the heart of the matter. I see this in this verse where they wake up Jesus. What does he want us to drown out here? Wake him up. Again, forgetting who they are, forgetting what skills they might have. Wake Jesus up. Okay. And Jesus' first response, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? I don't know, Jesus. Maybe it's the waves that are coming into the boat right now. Jesus doesn't ask a question because he doesn't know the answer. He asks the question to get to the heart of the matter of what's going on in you. So are we quieting ourselves enough to get close enough to hear the question that Jesus might be asking? Why are you so anxious? Whoa, 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 why are you so fearful? What's going on? Why are you trying to control? Why can't you let go? What's going on? Storms, hard things, without warning moments reveal what we truly believe of God, what we truly believe who he is in our life, what we think and believe of ourselves. It'll come to the surface. Our reaction in crisis shows us what we truly believe. And Jesus isn't mad at the disciples about this. But he wants to get to the heart of the matter because he knows this won't be the first or the last storm that these people face. This is just the beginning. And he knows that for our life, this won't be the only time you'll face a hardship. So come close and let's get to the heart of the matter and let's pull it up from its root why you're so afraid. So the next time the storm comes, you can identify it quickly and remind yourself and remind others who God is and stand firm in faith. In the storms of life, many times we've got to find a way to steady ourselves, pause, get close to the Lord and ask, what's really going on here? God, I am a mess. Man, I care so much what people think. I'm trying to overperform. I'm trying to take control and figure it all out on my own. God, what? Get close so he can ask you what's really going on and reveal to you what's happening in your heart and reveal to you what you really believe. We lost a child early on in our marriage, and I miscarried a baby. And after I miscarried that baby, things like this came out of my mouth. God, don't I do enough for you? Don't you see how much I do for you and you would allow this to happen? What was happening? The truth of what I believed of God was coming to the surface. Oh, that somehow if I behaved, if I presented myself, if I served him, if I gave enough, that I would never feel anything difficult. I would never lose a child. I would never suffer. And he brought me close and began to peel back the onion of faith that I thought I was believing. And he said, oh, sis, let's get to the heart of what you've been believing. He didn't cause that pain so that he could reveal that. No. His love for me came so close to comfort me, but I faced so many other trials since that time that I've been tempted to say those words again, but I thought, no, God, we've dealt with this. You touched parts of my heart. You healed things. You healed childhood wounds. You came close. So it's not this transactional relationship anymore. And so when the enemy wants to taunt me or get me sidetracked with sideways energy about what's going on in a trial, I'm reminded because I already walked through that storm and I got close to the Lord and he revealed to me. Storms reveal our theology. Don't let those waves fool you. Jesus is in control. Perhaps he cares more about calming you before he calms that storm. The second thing I see, the second application I have is every without warning moment is an invitation. 1 Peter 1:7 says, your faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire. And these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. They will show that you will be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. Every without warning moment, trial, storm that comes your way, I want you to remember it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come close for the Lord to do a transformational work in you. And transformation only happens through Jesus. The winds and the waves obeyed him. You're looking for transformation. I'm sorry, Tony Robbins isn't gonna do it. You gotta get close to Jesus. He does the transformational work that can only come through him, by him. And when we go through storms in life and we go through heavy, hard things, difficult seasons, I'm not even talking about a day here or there, a season of time that is painful and hard, it can and should cause transformation in you. It's an invitation to get close. Fire is a part of the cycle in most ecosystems. It reduces dead vegetation, stimulates new growth, improves habitat for wildlife. But we look at a fire and we, oh, look at all that it's destroyed. It's still doing a work. Gold has been used as a precious metal throughout history. Fire is the way to test gold. And when all the impurities are burned away, we know this, what's left is 24 karat gold, which is considered valuable. But it takes a fire process. It takes a pain process, burning up the impurities. A faith that can't be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Your faith will be tested. He wants to burn the dross, the excess that we come with. The motives, the expectations, the understandings. Not because he's mad, because he loves us. He's purifying us. Man, as Christians, especially in the Western world, we don't want to talk about stuff like purifying us and holiness. And don't we? We don't want to talk about trials. We don't want to talk about grief. We don't want to talk about persecution. These things that Jesus is inviting us into a life of transformation, and many times it involves trials. It involves hard things. He's purifying us. Jesus knew what was ahead for these disciples. Their faith would be tested and tested and tested. It's his love for them. He knew. He said, "Let's go to the other side." He wasn't surprised by the storm. Oh, shoot. Didn't see that on the weather app. Wow. He literally controls the weather. And some might look at that and say, what a hateful God. And he was saying, I'm inviting my disciples in. I want them to experience, because they will face trials of many kinds. You will face trials of many kinds. And he wants you to be reminded that he has not left you. He is with you. He wants to get to the heart of the matter, what's really going on inside of you. I see this, yeah, I see the waves. What's happening in you? Because I want to set you free. I want to deliver you from fear. I want to deliver you from anxiety. I want to deliver you from the sense and order and need to control and to figure it all out. I want you to have a faith that has been purified. That is the life he is inviting us into. Philippians 1:6, Paul tells us, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. He will finish it. You might be in the middle of that trial and you're like, this is painful and uncomfortable. God, where are you? I found myself recently in some weird health things, and I've been crying out to God, like, God, what is happening? And the doctors don't know, and we're trying to figure it out. And I just, it's felt quiet when I pray. It's felt quiet. And did you know that I had a friend reach out to me this week? And she said, Grace, I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but I was on a walk and I saw a hawk. And the Lord said to me, tell Grace Kladnick that I see and I know and I'm aware. I don't know if that has anything. Grace, I know that's so weird. I was bawling my eyes out. Now I got a tattoo of a hawk. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. But maybe Christmas. No puppies, but tattoos. Okay. Don't worry, Ryan will be back. It's fine. You're okay. You're okay. But she listened to God, a word that she didn't quite understand. She was obedient to give me that word, even if she looked foolish. And she had no idea I had been crying out to God, and it was so quiet. It was so quiet. And here came a word that ministered to me so deeply. Which brings me to point number three. Your faith impacts more than just you. This, again, that passage in Mark 4:36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. When we hear this story, we just think about the disciples on their boat with Jesus. There were other boats in the water. I think this is so significant. There are other boats among us. People we work with, people we go to school with, people in our family. There's gonna be people sitting at your Thanksgiving table. There's other boats around. There's other people around. Your faith is not just about you. And my friend who had the guts to say, this is a weird word, but I saw a hawk. I don't know if this means anything. Her faith and obedience ministered to me. It touched me. Your testimony matters. What you're going through matters. What you have faced in the past matters. Thank God those disciples woke up Jesus. Because can you imagine what the other people in the other boats were feeling? No hope. No hope. We're gonna die out here. We're out here in this storm. We're gonna die out here. At least they had Jesus in their boat. They knew who to wake up. There are people that are feeling so hopeless all around us. And listen, they have so much. They have homes, cars, boats, trains, planes. Y'all in South Orange County have everything. It's amazing. But there's only one person who can give you hope. Because all of that will rust away. You ever get a new iPhone? And then like a year later, there's another iPhone to get. And you know what they do? They put a different kind of plug in it. So you gotta get all new plugs. I see what they're doing. I see what they're doing. And I fall for it every time. We're like, what's the new latest book I can read to help me get through this situation? What's the new podcast? Have you heard that podcast? You gotta listen to that podcast. You gotta do the five things it says to do. And then you're gonna be, there is one person who can give you hope. It is Jesus. And I'm thinking about these other boats out in the water that didn't have Jesus in their boat. And it took the faith of a few. Your faith matters. It is the ripple for the generations to come. Did you know in 10, 15, 20 years, there'll be other people sitting in these seats? I hope you're still here too. But we should have other people here with us. Did you know when you get to heaven, you should see a whole bunch of people. I think we're gonna be really surprised who's up there with us, if I'm honest. You? Yes, I got in. Wow, he really does love us. Okay, it's true. It's true. I think about the decision my great grandfather made to follow Jesus and the ripple effects for the generations, and here I am. Your yes to Jesus, your faith to trust him, to believe what he says is true, your ability to tell your testimony. And that doesn't mean I have to get up with a Bible on a street corner with a blowhorn. No. The next opportunity you have to just share the goodness of God, something good. Everyone's sharing just the worst things, right? Did you see that news article? Did you see that thing? I don't know about that, but can I tell you what God did for me this week? You could have stories every day. They're just piling up, just waiting for you to share. Be that crazy person who loves to tell people that you prayed for a parking spot and you got a parking spot. I would rather you be weird like that than not say anything at all. Because God is moving. God is at work. And maybe it's not a huge storm you're in right now, but there's one coming. And maybe someone needs to hear the testimony of when you walked through a storm, when you battled an illness, when you had a relationship that was torn apart and how God redeemed it. Maybe someone needs to hear that story, that testimony. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him. Who? The enemy. By the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing you can do about that one. That is the gift that you'll receive from Jesus. The blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. You will defeat the enemy every time when you allow the blood of the Lamb to cover you and open your mouth and share the testimony of God. And maybe you're here today and you say, I have no testimonies. Today could be the first one where you say, there was a day I came to church. I heard this girl talk about silly things. And I said, I don't know what it is, but there is a Jesus. And I feel like I'm a boat that doesn't have Jesus in the boat with me. And I can't live that life any longer. I am hopeless and I have so much and I'm surrounded, but I feel alone and I am without hope. And if that's you today, it's Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I see that you went, you died on that cross to cover us, that we would be blameless. And not only that, 3 days later, we don't have to wait to Easter to celebrate this testimony. 3 days later, this is what makes us Christians. 3 days later, you came back to life so that you could back up the promise that said you would never leave me. And so I'm not gonna put my hope in materialistic things. I'm not gonna put my hope in anybody else. A job, a title, a family. I'm gonna put my hope in you, Jesus. All my life, you have been faithful. Come on, why don't you stand with me? All my life, God. And even if this is your first day to say yes to Jesus, all your life, he's been chasing you down. All your life, he has been there waiting, knocking on the door of your heart saying, will you answer? Will you let me in? And maybe you're like, I've done this, Grace. I've prayed the prayer. I went to church camp. I've done the things. But in the midst of a storm, in the midst of craziness, in the midst of chaos, who are you waking up? You're trying to figure it out on your own. You're in a corner with fear and anxiety. Are we going to the one who calms the storm? We're going to the one. And listen, this wasn't a lesson in how to calm storms. This was a lesson in who to go to. He could have said, guys, this is how you do it. He told them how to cast out demons, right? Some of you have to fast. Some of you, he taught them. He didn't teach them that day how to calm a storm. He taught them how to identify what's really going on in you so we can pull that up and you can be set free. He taught them, hey, what it looks like to be transformed. That if you are in a season of difficulty, it is an invitation to come close and be transformed. And he taught them that your faith is bigger than you. The ripples of what your faith, your yes today, what it will do for your kids, your grandkids, the generations to come, what it could do for this church, what it could do for our city, your yes to Jesus. Come on, I don't care that we have young people in here. Listen, you are not too young. There is no junior Holy Spirit. What God wants to do in you, you could lead this whole place. I'm serious. What God wants to do in you, you don't have to wait till you get through college. Because trust me, you won't have it figured out then either. Just do it now. Come on, you're not too old in this room either. Man, let's leave it for the young ones who have good knees. No! We need you. We need your testimony. Come on, who has a testimony in this room? Who has a testimony? Let's sing. Let's sing. We're going to sing about all my life you have been faithful. And I want us to lift our song up in this place. Remind your soul who God is. Remind yourself. And you know what? There might be someone sitting next to you who doesn't have the strength to sing today. Would you sing for them? Raise your voices in this place. Come on. We love you, Jesus.